Hey everybody, how's it going? So this week we talked to Maria Elena. She is a musician around town. You might have seen her do some solo stuff or see her recently. Right now she's in a all-girl rock band called Auga, and they're pretty fun to watch. But she came around to talk to us primarily about Women Who Rock ICT, and then also about Rock and Roll School for Girls, which is a day camp for young girls, I believe ages 8 to 16, that's going on here in August. So check that out if you've got a young one, and remember to check out all the Women Who Rock ICT events every few months, or I think maybe twice a year. You can check out a pretty cool showcase that she's been involved in and instrumental in making happen for us, and really trying to lift up the female side of the creative community in Wichita. So we're all about that. Before we get you into that, I want to let you know that we really appreciate what Shelter Salon has done to help keep us afloat. And in May, they just launched their new recycling program, which is Green Circle Salon's recycling program. It's into full swing. So they're trying to be a little bit greener. So that's cool. If you're a little environmentally conscious, maybe that's why you should go to Shelter Salon to get your haircut. They also have new products in store this month. So that's pretty cool. If you need a snip, head on down to Shelter Salon and check that out. We also want to say thank you to Jill Miller at Finishing School for Modern Women. Check out their Facebook page because they've got a bunch of events coming up this summer. A whole bunch of different stuff that you can get tickets to right now to go check out. For example, just looking right now here in June, we've got a Taming Monkey Brain, Carrying Your Weight, Ask a Man, and a bunch of others. So check them out, finishingschoolformodernwomen.com or Finishing School for Modern Women on Facebook. Anyway, let's get you over to Maria Elena.
Welcome, everybody.
Oh, there he is.
Woo, Bernardi!
We were going to try to start without you and let you come in the middle, but
yeah.
I try
in
to
the
get
middle
it done
of our
before.
Maria Elena.
Should I go back?
There you go.
Maria, do you know Bernardo?
No.
Nice to meet you.
What's up, Bernardo?
Thanks for coming.
Hi.
So, we are here because there are women in Wichita that fucking rock. And they rock ICT. And if you're not from this area, ICT is the airport abbreviation for Wichita. So, we hear there's a school for girls who rock ICT, or a camp. It's a camp.
Let's let Maria tell us the name. I feel like we're hacking this already.
No, I'm doing a good job, I think.
Yeah, you're right. It's a camp. It's just a 1 week long camp. It's a day camp. It's not overnight. And it's scheduled for August 1st through 5th is the actual camp dates. And then the showcase, which is where all the original bands that form during camp get together, and they will perform on August 6th. Mm-hmm. And so we're scheduled to have our camp at Evergreen Rec Center, which is in North Wichita.
Right on.
Right on.
And what's the name of the camp?
Rock and Roll Camp for Girls.
Nice.
And I'm really excited about it. I was able to volunteer last year at the Oklahoma City Rock Camp, and I taught bass and was a band coach there, and I just completely fell in love with it. It was so cool.
How did this
40 girls. Go ahead.
How did this program get started? Like, what's the origins of this camp?
It started in Portland in 2000.
Okay.
And the chicks from Sleater-Kinney
right
got
on
together, and were like, chicks don't play rock and roll. What do we do about it? And so they started a camp, and it was really small, and it's grown, and now it's international. There's like 70-something or more. I just made that number up. There's tons and tons of camps all over the world, though. They're everywhere, major cities. I think that the L.A. camp had Katy Perry play it last year.
Wow.
Like, some of them are huge.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
some of
awesome.
Them are really big time. Obviously, Katy Perry won't be gracing our camp.
Or will she?
Find out.
Stay tuned.
How did you get involved in this? I know you said you went to Oklahoma City and took part of, you know, teaching bass to the kids out there. How did you get involved in that? How did you learn about it?
It was kind of a fluke thing. I was at Kirby's playing a gig, and I met this fella from Minnesota. And I was complaining to him and drowning my sorrows over not being able to do a similar sort of camp that was happening in Springfield that summer because my work schedule wouldn't permit me to take the time off. And he said, "That's crazy. Have you heard of Rock and Roll Camp for Girls? It's basically the same thing." And I said, "No." He says, "My girlfriend's running one in Oklahoma City in July, and you should apply for it." And he called her right then and told me what the dates were. And it worked out that I didn't have anything going on at that time, and we just almost confirmed it that day. And
the cosmos aligned, right?
I remember her on the phone, I'm hearing her say, like, "Great, that's awesome. Can she play the bass?" And I totally lied. I was like, "Yeah, I can teach bass. I don't play bass at all." But I got with my guitar instructor, David Lord, and was like, "Can you give me some bass lessons? Because I'm going to go teach bass at this rock camp." And he goes, "You are?" I was like, "Yeah."
And That's crazy.
He gave me a little bit of a worried face. But it worked out. It worked out. I got my lessons, and then I went and taught bass to girls who had never, ever played before. So since I played guitar, it worked out.
That sounds like such like a summer fun for the whole family comedy movie.
Yeah, right?
Maria doesn't realize she's going to have to play bass.
But I wanted to do it so bad. I mean, if it had been drums, I would have had to say no.
Oh, drums are easy to fake.
Oh. It's just noise, right?
It's just noise.
Right?
It's not.
So how did you get from that to running, taking it, you're running the show here in Wichita?
Yeah. Well, I had already started the Women Who Rock ICT platform, which also is not my idea. That's something that I took from a page I found from Springfield, Illinois, which is a Women Who Rock Springfield page. And I got their permission and everything to start our own here. But I wanted to do a little bit more than just music, which is what they focus on. I wanted to do visual arts and poetry and entrepreneurship and, you know, political activism. And basically any creative, motivated woman who was trying to make a positive influence on our community. You know, I felt needed help. Anyway, so I had already started that. And when I went to camp, I was so blown away at the involvement and the support that all of these volunteers, there were like 50-something volunteers, and more than half of us had never met before the camp, and we were from all over Oklahoma, where I was the only one, I think, from out of state. But everyone was so supportive and helpful. There was not one argument in 7 days between any of the grown volunteers or any of the campers. There was such camaraderie that I just felt like this is exactly what I've been hoping to create through the Women Who Rock movement in Wichita. And I hadn't yet developed, you know, such a sustainable community of people who were able to interact that casually and that supportively. And they had, with one camp. And it just was like...
That's great.
You know, it just seemed like it was so easy. I realize now it's not. With all the work I'm putting into it, but...
What's the age group for the campers, the girls? That
8 to 16.
Perfect, all right.
Or 8, I should say, through 16, so...
Through 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 8 to 16.
And tell us a little about the setup of the camp. I mean, do you need to play guitar? Is that what you're going to be doing if you do that? Or how does that all
you
work?
You don't have to have any musical experience to volunteer or to be a camper. So what we do is we introduce all the campers. They can, on their camper application, they'll fill out instrument choice from, they'll rate them, you know, they play guitar first, drum second, and so on. So we'll offer guitar, drums, bass, keys, and vocals. And the girls can choose their favorite. If they have experience in that instrument, if they've been playing piano for 10 years, we'll probably put them on another instrument. Mostly so that they can experience something new, and also partly so that everyone's kind of at the same level. We want everyone to be learning something.
Yeah, on the same page. That's great.
Yeah, on the same page. So, you know, They'll get some say, though. They can say, I really do not want to sing, period. And then we won't put them on vocals. But they have, you know, their rated choices for instruments. And it's through the day, like, I think we're going to do it 9 to 4. And in the morning, we'll have instrument instruction. And in the afternoons, we'll have band practice. After they form their bands, they'll start to write an original song to play at the show.
That's really cool. I bet that's exciting to see. Like,
it's so cool. And they do it so fast with girls they've never met. It's amazing. I couldn't believe the stuff that the girls came up with in the Oklahoma City camp. It was
really, cool.
Really, really rocking.
I think it's fantastic that you're getting... Because, you know, let's be real. Like, 8 to 16-year-old girls, a lot of them are going to be self-conscious about who they are or these strangers they're going to be in front of. And if you're in a group like, hey, I really know how to do anything, you're with like the girl that's shredding it on the guitar or whatever, getting everyone on the same sort of level musically, like your guitarist is going to be playing drums, someone doesn't know anything is going to be singing, that kind of keeps, you know, prevents them, you know, from signing up to begin with. You know, a lot of people might be like, no, I don't want to get in over my head or, you know, feel weird about, you know, these other girls that are way better than me at music or whatnot.
Right.
That's fantastic.
And we put that into the application process too. You know, we say we prefer if you've got years of experience on one instrument that you are open to trying another, so that everyone can kind of be on the same page and have the same opportunity, basically. But yeah, it's a pretty cool thing to realize.
When is the application process, or how do you get the application?
They're online. They're downloadable. You can go to www.ladiesrockict.weebly.com.
Cool.
And one day after we have more money than we have right now in our bank account, we will buy our own .com, so we won't have a .weebly on it. One day. But as for now...
Hey, you're a non-profit.
As for now, yeah. Work it works. Uh-huh. It works.
Weebly's Weebly.
Yes, that's correct.
I've never heard of that, so thanks for spelling it out.
No problem.
It's awesome. It's a great system. I use it for all my stuff.
I knew someone using one. He was like traveling cross country and maintained a Weebly. So yeah, it's findable.
It's pretty cool.
And when are the application dates? Is starting now? Like you're going right now?
They've been open, and they'll be open up until mid to late July. Okay. I mean, we'll accept campers until we're either full or I can't think of another scenario where I wouldn't, you know.
What's your capacity, you think, you know?
The ultimate goal is 40. The realistic goal is 25. Since it's the first year,
oh my gosh,
I'm trying to be realistic about it.
I feel like 40 is... But is your minimum.
That's
you might
my
get a
goal.
Lot of
that's
interest.
My goal.
You never know. Yeah.
You never know. I mean, last year the OKC camp got their 40 girls. This year they were turning people away.
Really?
Like before the application process
I
even
bet.
Really began.
Yeah. Huh.
And they added 10 more girls to their register this year. So you never know. But I'm trying to be realistic and not get my hopes up.
Have
but,
you know. How many girls do you have now? No. When does registration start?
Registration has. Is open.
Is open
it's
now.
Open now.
Yeah.
Now. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we have a lot of interest, not a whole lot of commitment.
Yeah.
A few girls have committed, but a lot of girls have said, I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need, like, the application
Follows
commitment.
Yeah,
yeah I'm waiting,
so
waiting for those
line.
To come in,
huh.
You know. But I've had a lot of in-person, like, yeah, we're definitely in.
And
so,
I'm guessing they need their parents to sign off on something, some
yes,
waivers.
Of course, yeah.
Okay. Is there any cost associated for the campers?
There is.
Okay.
The full camp, including the showcase stuff that comes with your, you know, glam bag that has your t-shirts and your water bottles and everything, is $150 per girl for the whole camp, which is
some
obscenely
bad.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's two reasons I'm doing that. One of the reasons I want to keep it cheap is because if I get my ultimate goal... That will cover all of our costs for our fees. That will cover our costs and just enough so that we can have enough money to advertise for next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it will cover.
Perfect.
I also want to keep it low because I want to offer financial aid and I want to reach out to more underprivileged areas of town that really need this camp. I want to reach out to girls who can't go to, you know, I mean, who need this, really? Mm-hmm. And $150 is a number that a lot of people can swing. And if they can't, it's a really, it's a low enough number that contributors would feel comfortable sponsoring a camper.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, if we end up needing financial aid, which I want to be able to provide for any girls that need it, I don't feel apprehensive about going up even to individuals and saying, would you be willing to sponsor this camper? You know, she needs $75 or she needs $100 for her tuition to come to camp so that we can make it work.
Is that some same website? Say if you have some very nice person that's like, I'd love to sponsor someone or donate, you know, a certain amount of money, they can do that on that website?
Yeah, they can, yeah, go to the, yeah, everything's on the website.
Perfect.
Or you, or visit us on our Facebook page too. And you
this
can
might be a nerdy question, but if somebody sponsors a camper, do they get a 0501(c)?
Yes.
So that's
they can write
tax
it up.
Whatever.
Yes, tax. It's yes.
Neato.
Is that,
do I get a picture?
Hey. And that too, actually. We,
you know,
we definitely have benefits for people who are going to give money to camp.
But that's true, because at a cost of like $150, like that's the kind of giving I can afford to do. Like that's like when I, you know, I can't do grand shit. And honestly, honestly, a tax receipt makes it a lot easier for me to give to, you know, small crap like that. I wouldn't give KMUW $10 a month if I didn't, you know, get the receipt that said, you know, $120 a year at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Listen, if you really want a good tax write-off, go down to, like, the DMV, donate a few clothes, they give you a slip, and you can fill it out yourself. I'm like, those three shirts worth $1,000. Yeah, that's how it works.
You start doing that right now.
But yeah, we are, you can't write it off. Our paperwork is in filing right now, so as of today, if you give us a donation and you try to, you know, file it and write it off, it will not work.
Oh, yeah, probably not good
but for the next
this
tax
year's
season. Yes.
Tax season. Yes. Not good for
a
week ago.
We just opened our account and everything.
Right.
So, but yes, for the next tax season in April, you can have whatever you give to camp. Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, this is all women helping all girls, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That's fantastic. And as far as on the volunteer end, where are you guys sitting at? Are you looking for a certain number of volunteers? Do you have all the volunteers you need?
No.
Okay.
Not even close at this point. But it also, again, depends on how many campers we get.
Sure.
Right now, I'm desperately in need of help to spread the word about camp, to reach out to local businesses to donate, things like that. I'm doing everything by myself at this point, except for Jessica's helping me with graphic design.
Right on.
That is, you know, otherwise, I mean, I'm literally, I think I called Lelania today twice saying, can you, on one thing I was like, can you add more invites to the Facebook event for May? She's like, I did it already and I can't invite anymore. I've already told you. Like, okay. 2 hours later, I'm like, I'm going to be in Maryland this weekend. Can you go give a talk? She's like, I'm going to be at Split Lip, girl. You got to, like, get some more people to help out with this stuff. So I desperately need help.
So you need female instructors that can help girls play guitar,
hit up some high schools,
drums, bass, keyboards, and sing. Is that
right?
Yes,
that's right.
Okay. If you sing, play guitar, play an instrument, please hit up Maria. It's 1 week. Do the volunteers got to commit for all 5 days?
No, that's one thing about it. We need all kinds of volunteer stuff. Do I have it right here? I might even have my list of what kind of volunteers we need. We do need musical volunteers, definitely, to do instrument instruction and to do band coaching. But there's a whole lot of other volunteer opportunities that don't require musical talent or even musical interest. And if you're just down with the cause, we need you. Things like roadies. I will be 7 months pregnant at the time of this camp. And
wow!
Totally be unable to lift amps and, you know, move things up and downstairs, and I will need lots of help with that. So we're going to need people just to be moving equipment back and forth, you know, people who can move the drum sets all into one room for instrument instruction and then move them to separate rooms for band practice.
Does it have
like
to
that.
Be women only helping out?
Yes.
At the actual camp, it does.
Okay.
And there is a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
When I first went to the Oklahoma City camp, I was honestly, a little bit turned off when I first realized that it was all women, only women, and men were completely excluded from the actual camp. there were some men who definitely helped us set up, help bring in speakers, help stuff like that, you know, decorate, all kinds of stuff, ran errands for us, all kinds of stuff. But during actual camp hours, there was not a man around. And at first I was kind of like, that's kind of, you know, really? I mean, if they want to help, they should be able to help. But after 2 or 3 days, I realized that there was such an insecurity, even with me, as a grown adult. If my own husband, who I trust more than anyone on this planet, had been in the same room when I was teaching bass, I would have deferred to him 100% of the time. I would have constantly said, is this right? Should I do it this way? What do you think? I would have constantly done that, and my confidence in teaching these girls would have been far lower than it was without him there. And that doesn't mean that he's not an extremely supportive, encouraging person. It just means that that's how my mentality works. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was kind of the common mentality with a lot of the volunteers and the girls there. The fact that we were not deferring to anyone, we had to do it by ourselves. We had to move all this extremely heavy gear up and downstairs every day. We didn't have a choice. And guess what? It worked perfectly well, and there was no argument, and there was no problems whatsoever, and it was extremely successful, and every single one of us left with our confidence boosted through the roof. And I think that I realize now the difference it really made with making it a women's only, you know, organization for at least that part of when it needed to happen.
Yeah, that kind of self-reliance for girls that age is huge to kind of impress upon them that, you know, we're girls, but we can do this. We don't, you know, need right. someone else to help us out.
The fact that they saw us working together to do stuff, too, I think was huge, you know, because there were a lot of times where I remember thinking, like, man, I wish Jason and Brody were here to help me set up this PA.
Right.
And I just had to figure it out. You know, I couldn't call them in the middle of the day and... You know, I had to just figure it out. And then I learned a lot more about it and was able to rely on myself, like you said, for the rest of the camp. And it was great. It was extremely beneficial.
And you got music opportunities, roadie opportunities
yes.
for volunteers. What else
yeah.
you got? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that would be interested in lending a hand.
Yeah, there's all. We need all kinds of stuff. Since it's nonprofit and all of our camp money... Let's say we get 40 girls and they all pay their tuition miraculously. Even still, we don't have enough money to, like, buy lunch for all the volunteers every day.
Okay.
If we have 40 girls, we're going to need 50 or more volunteers. We don't have the resources for that. We need somebody or somebodies to reach out to local restaurants and say, would you be willing to give us muffins
yeah.
and coffee and pizza and this and that? Pick a day. Would you give us lunch for that day? Or... You know, would you give us 25 sandwiches on Wednesday? Of you know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
absolutely.
We need that. We also need reception folks who can sit at the front door when girls are coming in the morning and when girls are leaving in the afternoon. We need someone to check to make sure that girls are going home with the right people, that parents are checking in and signing in, that they're confirming if we've not seen them before with a phone number, stuff like that for security
okay.
reasons to keep everybody safe. Those are all kinds of things that don't require any, you know, musical affiliation. And in general, like I said, I mean, we just need people just to help.
Like, sure, absolutely.
While it's happening, we have band coaches and then we have band supporters. And so there's, you know, someone in the room who's a musical person who will be guiding them and helping them with tempo and helping them figure out the bridge of their song. And then, if that person gets busy and needs to leave for 20 minutes, we need another lady in the room who's going to sit with these girls, keep them focused, keep them energized, keep them motivated, and tell them what an awesome job they're doing. You know, and that doesn't require any musical experience.
Right.
So there's a million things mm-hmm. that can be done. Those are like the absolutes, but
so you've got 1, 2, maybe 3 people max at this point. You need an army with
yeah.
you.
I do.
Okay.
I need a huge amount of people.
I wrote down Allie because I think she would be a good checking in, signing in person. Mm-hmm. Plus, I think her daughter would benefit. I think that could be something that you give the volunteers is like, oh, you have a kid? Yeah, she can join the camp. Maybe. I don't know all the logistics and yeah. shit. But I'm just saying, like,
that's definitely something that I've considered. 5 days with her daughter. To at least see if we can work out a discount for those girls. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Not to devalue by saying, like, you know, trade. Sure. But, Allie, when you're listening to this, just give it a thought, you know?
When these girls are getting together, they're making their band, you're having a, you know, drum person, keyboard, vocalist, are they grouped together by age, or is it...
Yes. So, we'll have one group between 8 and 12, and the other between 12 and 16.
Perfect.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so you wondering how, have, like, a 9-year-old and a 15-year-old would jam together?
They kind of rock out differently, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way that we do it, I mean, as far as the schedule goes, they'll kind of split into their instrument instruction groups, or rather their age groups, excuse me. And so one age group, let's, you know, the littles and the bigs. I just made that up. I don't like that term, but we'll go with it.
Sure.
So let's say that the littles in the beginning of the day are going to go and have instrument instruction. While they're doing that, the big group is going to be having a workshop. And their workshops are going to happen every day, and they're going to revolve around all kinds of different stuff. A confidence con, wellness and support, screen printing your own t-shirts, self-defense, you know, all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to remember all the workshops they did last year. I was unfortunately unable to attend any of them because I was constantly doing instrument instruction. But after they do their hour or whatever of instrument instruction or workshop time, they switch. And so then they switch positions and do instrument instruction or workshop or whichever they weren't doing in the first half of that day. Then in the afternoons, everyone does their band, same sort of deal, you
right.
know, half and half with band focus time. So
well, that seems like a lot of fun, kind of a well-rounded camp as far as, you know, you're not just banging on your keyboards all day long.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. you know, you definitely have the influence of somebody guiding you, for sure. And the cool thing about it is once they start to... Once you get them on a little bit of basic, you know, once you teach them the names of the strings on the bass and where the notes are, then... And show them how to hold it. And I mean, a lot of these girls have never held an electric instrument or any instrument. So show them how to turn it on and show them, you know, how to turn it up. And then show them how to plug it in and everything else. And once they've got that down, they've probably started to write their song, you know, by day two or so. You can work with them individually during your instrument instruction on their song part for their instrument, which is pretty cool.
That's really cool. What are the hours like? Did you mention that?
9 to 4.
9 to 4.
So have you been to any of, like, the local, like, music shops to see if
yeah.
what the response is there? Are they excited?
Yeah, Ulix is really going to help a lot. They're donating an electric guitar kit for our fundraiser on May 14th, which is amazing.
Cool. That's awesome.
And they also are going to kind of be our... materials guru, if you will, during camp. If a cable breaks or if we need an extra mic or whatever, we can send someone to Ulix and they'll help rent that stuff out to us.
That's great.
One thing that's really cool and extremely lucky for me, I'm still counting my lucky stars over this, and another reason actually why the tuition can be so low this year is that Carter Sampson, who runs the Oklahoma City camp, made enough money at their camp sales showcase last year that she was able to buy all of their library of equipment this year for her camp, which
wow.
is thousands and thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So that means that our tuition could go from what I expected to be $300 per girl and cut in half, because now she's allowing me to use all of their equipment for free. So
wow.
I don't have to rent amps or guitars or cables or anything
wow.
like that.
That's great. Amazing.
It is amazing.
Let's give her a big round of applause.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you,
yeah.
OKC.
Well, and you put in your, you put in time.
Yeah, I asked
little.
Her to borrow that, yeah.
No, I'm saying, like, you, yeah, you helped out over there,
mm-hmm.
you know, right?
Yes.
So...
It all comes
around,
and I'll definitely be there again this year for their camp for sure.
Are you gonna get helpers from that? Like
maybe. I hope so.
They're into it.
My girl band Auga just went down to Oklahoma City last weekend to play their camp fundraiser, one of their camp fundraisers, and they made a lot of money there.
Cool.
So whatever I can do, I think we're all on the same page, you know, with those campers.
Mm-hmm.
If they can make it up here for a couple days, I'm sure that they will, which would be great. Because it would be awesome to have people who know how it works, you know, and involved in any way possible, so...
You mentioned Auga.
Yeah.
And so, like, that leads to, like, what you do in town besides try and create this awesome fucking thing.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about your other bands and your history. And...
All right. Well, oh, man, where to start?
Yeah, I know, right?
So my baby, my absolute baby, is
the one that's in
Bands.
You?
The what?
The one that's in you right now?
Oh, not that one.
Okay,
so
clear.
I have that one, too.
All right.
And that one is growing quicker than I can. I can't catch up. And that one's making all of this actually pretty difficult, to be honest. But it's okay. Yeah, the Great Plains is my heart and soul band. I've poured hours and hours and days and months and years of effort into the music for that, and I'm really lucky with the musicians I've been able to play with that project, and I love it. It's a concept album about post-apocalyptic robot stuff, you know, it's super nerdy. And
nice.
Awesome. When did that start? When did you start?
I started that band in Beijing, actually, when I lived in China. And so I think that was probably 2013.
Okay.
Is there a huge post-apocalyptic robot music scene in Beijing?
No, but we did okay there. And we were able to go on, you know, a mini tour in Western China. And stuff.
That's fantastic.
It was awesome. That's cool. So it was very cool. But obviously the band members have evolved.
Sure.
Now that we're based out of Wichita. but it's still, you know, a lot of the same tunes and stuff. And
what's your role in the band as far as musically, vocalist?
With that one, I play rhythm guitar. I write all the music and arrange all the music for that. And I'm the vocalist and I play guitar. There's another, my husband Jason plays lead guitar in that. And then there's bass and drums. So
cool.
It's pretty, like, dissonant, 90s grunge, rock-inspired weirdness. I don't know.
So that's one of your many projects.
That's one of them. That's you know, every, like...
That's your favorite child, right?
Yeah. Right? Everyone has a favorite child.
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite child. My favorite dark, disturbed child. And I do a folk project that I usually just go by my own name with that. That kind of has evolving players, but typically I play with Jason and Brody Wellman and John Eaton with that. I've played with Tom Page and Mark Horton in it, and it just kind of goes and goes and goes. And that stuff is very soft and mellow and still pretty broody, but
right.
It's not at all the sort of, you know, heavy, I don't know, it's not heavy. It's just, everybody calls it Nora Jones-ish sort of, you know. It's like
right.
Nora Jones, but really depressed Nora Jones.
She's good.
Yeah, she's great. I love Nora Jones. And then I'm also working with, have you heard of Luna Copy?
Mm-hmm.
So I play with
awesome.
Those guys, and we're working on something. I'm really stoked about about the potential of the project we're working up to, but we're also doing... Kirby's is hosting these monthly band album tribute nights, and so we're going to do Siamese Dream, which is pretty fun. So it's a blast to see Kendall with his whisk, you know, playing all these ridiculous grunge lines, you know, it's pretty fun. And then I have Auga, which is my girl trio, I don't know what we are, post-punk sort of stuff. We're goofy.
How do you spell that?
Goofy.
Yeah.
It's all caps. A-O-O-G-A-H exclamation point.
Well, see, I've seen this on Facebook. I didn't know how to pronounce it, so I guess I've been exposed but didn't make it.
I always have to say it like, Auga!
Yeah,
like
it.
The horn.
That's
yeah, that makes...
I feel like I'm doing it a disservice with my the way I'm so shy about saying it the way it's
my
supposed to be.
My name's Maria, and I am in a band called Ouga.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Do you go, so is Elena your last name?
No.
Middle name?
Maria Elena is my name. Yeah, my first name, yeah. My last name is McCabe. My it's the name before you get married.
Your
maiden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is McCabe. I actually never changed my last name. So yeah, my last name is McCabe.
Really? That's funny. So, all
right. So that's three girls. And I'm going to say it the right way. Yeah. Three girls. That's your only all-girl group.
Yes.
So that's
right.
Representing.
I think we're actually the only all-girl rock group in town.
Dang.
I wouldn't doubt it.
There's some, I mean, there's some all-girl groups that do really cool yeah. stuff. There's some really neat sort of symphony-based stuff and that sort of thing. But we're the only ones that, like, plug in and scream and curse and get sloppy.
Nice. Get sloppy.
You know, we're real
sloppy. I've only seen you in passing and stuff, so I'm starting to realize how much I don't know you, and you probably don't know me or anyone. I mean, it's really interesting to have a Facebook friend for however long, who knows, and to see someone at the bar, but to sit down and have a conversation in my apartment that you've never been in, and to be so casual, and then I just, like, don't even know your first name, really, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, how embarrassing, but I'm starting to realize, like, yeah, I really don't know you. It's cool.
I bet there's
but
a lot of people
I
that don't know that that's your first name versus first last name. I bet there's a lot of
yeah,
people that
Yeah, is that
a
common
assume.
Thing? Or,
yeah. I mean, and it doesn't matter. Like, it's not an easy name.
I feel like a jerk.
Maria.
You know, my mom calls me Maria.
Okay.
I mean, it's a beautiful name.
You mean
name.
She doesn't know either? Whoa.
It's a really beautiful name, but it's not easy to pronounce,
yeah.
you know, if you're going to say the full thing with the whole accent and all that.
Yeah.
So,
is it all right if I try and get
Elena.
Up just
sure,
like in the
yeah,
clubs and stuff? I'm like, Maria,
Elena!
You know,
Maria,
and,
Elena.
I get that a lot, you know. I get lots of, Maria, Elena! Maria, Elena! All the time.
I think
like,
that's what I do.
My ears and that girl.
Can you give it to us proper one time?
Maria Elena.
Oh, cool. I'm just going to isolate that drop, record it, and then play it back over and over.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
Maria Elena. I'll
so
get it.
When did you start playing music again?
Playing music?
Yeah. Like,
always? Yeah. I played piano from, you know,
before
I could reach it. I didn't start playing guitar until I was probably like 17 or 18.
Okay.
And I didn't start taking guitar seriously until way after that. But, and I didn't start.
What kind of music were you into in high school?
In high school, broody 90s crap, you know, Radiohead, broody 80s crap, The Cure.
Yeah.
I mean, just everything broody, really, really broody. Tori Amos and
Lee
DeFranco and Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
And anything that could, you know, make the average person go, oh my god. Like
like calling you Maria Elena.
PJ Harvey. Huge
yeah.
into PJ Harvey growing up. My mom's a painter, and so she listens to all kinds of crazy shit, and I was luckily able to be exposed to, you know.
That's really cool.
Nine Inch Nails and.
Well, take me on this trip. You said you started playing piano when you were this small. First, are you native to Wichita or no?
Uh huh.
Okay.
Yes.
So you start playing piano when you're really little.
Uh-huh.
And did you take lessons? Was that something from family? Or?
Yeah, I took lessons when I was very little. And then I don't think I took lessons again. I always sang, too. I was in choirs and stuff all growing up. I was in the Wichita Children's Community Choir. And, did lots of stuff vocally. I sing in church every week and, you know, all that.
High school, junior high band sort of person?
I did middle school band. I played the trumpet. But
yeah.
I didn't know how to read music, and I refused to learn, so I just ghosted everything, and
that happened to me.
It was really, really bad.
I played clarinet. I didn't ghost or anything, but, like, I didn't learn how to play the... I didn't know what... I just, like, tried to memorize, like, what note the fingers needed to be at, and I always forged the signature on my practice. Always. And so, I don't play clarinet anymore.
Yeah. I don't play trumpet anymore either.
I still have it, but I'm like, I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb, I think. And that's about it. Sorry. I was like, it reminded me. Oh my gosh.
I think that's a pretty common occurrence with middle school banders.
Yeah,
I played drums. It was a lot harder to fake pretend. It.
That's cool. I wish we would have had that. I mean, if I could have played like drums or bass or something, I think I would have rocked it. I think I would have been really into it.
It was fun, except we had like 7 or 8 kids say they wanted to do percussion in the 7th and 8th grade band. And then Mr. Munoz, hey man, I love you, but kind of a dick when he was like, we're going to have one snare, one kid play trap, and we're going to have 2 standby percussions for to do timpanis or the cymbal or whatever it is for each thing. And so we had like 9 kids go in and had to, you had to play a piece on the snare and you had to play a piece on the set. And then I got relegated. Like, I made the cut, but I made the back half of the cut. Like, I got ride cymbal all the time. Like, just the stand and the cymbal and mallets where the note, the sheet music, you know, it's all on one row. It's just donk, donk, donk. Oh, roll. And it was really
That's really
shitty.
Funny.
Yeah.
If we're telling our music stories, can I jump in with mine?
Yeah, sure.
First of all, I gotta say, when you're in high school like I was, and you take one semester of guitar, there's nothing cooler than getting on the bus or walking around with your giant acoustic guitar case, but there's also nothing as horrible as when this hot girl's like, play me something, you're like, and it's just terrible because you have like 1 month of guitar experience. But carrying it is cool as hell. Like,
oh, come on,
what's
man.
Up, ladies? Carrying a guitar case here. And that's
it's
the
just
end
like
of my story.
That's the story.
That's when you bust out Smoke on the Water.
Yeah.
Come on.
Pat, 3, 6, 8, 3, 6, 9, 8.
No,
never played an instrument. Your brother does.
Yeah.
You don't.
I've always wanted to learn about how to play piano. That was like one thing, but. You know,
you never played like the buckets, the upside down buckets
nope.
or anything? No.
Mm-mm. I don't know. It's just I can't keep a rhythm. Some people
you never played the jug, the blow jug.
Mm-mm.
Oh,
not even in grade.
I don't know. You're from Hutch.
Thanks.
Maybe that was big out there.
Bernardo's in a mariachi band.
No, the only instrument I ever remember playing was piano. A little bit. That's the only one I ever actually like tried at. Everything else was just and keyboards. No, not
that's
keyboard.
Not a keyboard. Yeah,
xylophone, marimba.
Yeah, that.
He said keyboards, but was making the drum thing,
yeah.
And we all looked very confused here for a moment.
I don't remember.
Like the Fisher Price thing. You know,
oh, you played the xylophone?
Yeah, that's the one, the metal. Yeah.
Wait, you got it for Christmas 1 year when you were 5?
No. When I was in kindergarten.
In music class.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah. When I was in kindergarten, I didn't realize that the notes weren't supposed to be alphabetized. And I just, every music session, I would go over there and just reorder them, and then I come back and I'd be like, I'll be damned.
Yeah. Why is it EAD
yeah,
now?
Like, and then one time after I did it, I mean, I was doing this multiple music days in a row, and I heard someone after I very successfully rearranged it again. I heard someone say, "Who keeps doing this?" Me. And that's how I found out that wasn't right.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So other than music, what other kind of creative outlets do you do?
Now? Oh, man. Well, I mean, the Women Who Rock stuff, you know, is probably it. I mean, four bands is...
That's a lot.
...is busy, and then trying to get Rock Camp together is a lot. But the Women Who Rock stuff... which has kind of plateaued at this point, and so I'm really wanting to, as soon as I have a moment to breathe from Rock Camp, I want to get back into it and really start paying better attention, because I've not been slacking, but haven't been thinking actively about other ways to kind of make it, to be proactive with
hard.
It. Yeah, it is.
Stuff going on.
And I you know, that's something that I could use a lot of help with too, as just far as going like up to different ladies in the community and interviewing them and putting their stuff online and, you know, getting their website up. And when I first started it, I was trying to do a weekly one, and then I realized that was way too much, and so then I started doing a monthly one, and then I even started doing it less recently with Rock Camp, so... I'd like to get back to doing like a monthly featured woman who rocks ICT.
And it's not just music you do.
No, no, yeah. It's everything. And so it's, yeah, any woman who does anything positive to support her community, you know, whether it's her own business or, you know, activism or anything. It's pretty cool. And I've met a lot of women that way through the Women Who Rock stuff that are helping with the Girls Rock Camp stuff too, which is very, very cool. Like Stephanie Sandoval from Chiquita's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did a little short, super short interview with her for the Women Who Rock thing when her place opened. I went to school with her brother, actually, and so it was kind of a fun thing. And now she's going to be donating dinner for two for our May 14th fundraiser for Rock Camp.
Perfect.
At her place for our celebrity date that we'll be auctioning.
They're at 11th and Biting. You should check it out.
It's bidding.
Bidding, whatever.
Bidding.
Bidding.
It's
know.
So good.
It is bidding. I always say Biting. I get everything basically wrong. Everything I say is usually the wrong. It's like the wrong way to pronounce anything. Oh my god, just scared me.
Cat.
We kind of have a wow, Jessica's falling over in her
and
chair.
And I hit my cat on accident in the chair. This chair's broken. But
we have a little tradition here at Midwest Digest. We always like to ask our guest, what are you afraid of?
Rats.
Rats. Rats. I'm writing down rats. I'm dressing as a rat for
and water.
And wait a minute. Yeah. You got a water right in front of you. You don't seem afraid
of
it.
No, like
water bodies of
like
water?
Like big bodies of water. Like so being in the water? Like I can't even say
it. Did you see how my hands just began to tremble as I said
so
that?
So if you were in water over your head, you would not be cool with that.
I'm not cool with that.
Yeah. Like whether it's a pool, a pond, an ocean, it makes no difference.
Makes no difference.
It's
wow.
Scary.
I don't like.
Yeah. So, like, a pool full of rats is way off base, right? Like, forget about it.
I can't, yeah. I had a thing with rats. Here's where that came from. Mice, too, but rats are worse. So, my brother, he...
She looks terrified.
Yep. Yeah.
My brother is awesome, first of all.
Was eaten by rats.
He I was house-sitting for my stepdad years ago, and my brother found a couch on the side of the road somewhere.
Oh, my God.
And like he did every time he found a great deal on furniture, he brought it home every time, which is cool, because then he'd be, like, hitting up his homies, like, hey, man, I got a couch. You need a couch? Like, I know you totally need a couch, man. I got one. It's free. Just come pick it up. It's no big deal. Just bring me, like, a beer. And so he was always, you know, because he's just a helpful guy.
Yeah.
So he brings home this couch that looks great. And I'm the one house sitting. And after a day or two, I start hearing, like, you know, when I get home. And I was working at Barleycorn's, the old Barleycorn's on Douglas. What's it now? The Monarch. And anyway, so I must have been, like, 19. And I started hearing the, like, and then I started opening the door when I'd get home from work at, like, you know, 3:30 in the morning, and I started seeing, like, some mice move, and I'd be like, ooh, that's creepy. It ended up getting to the point where I came home once from my Barleycorn's job, and I opened the door, and there were, like, 100 mice, and they all...
She's gonna
cry. I didn't know what to do. It was awful, and I went to bed that night, and I felt the little bastards crawling on my legs.
What?
And that's why she won't get in the water.
So after that, it was like, you know, we had to have an exterminator and a whole thing.
Yeah,
the water
would.
Thing, the water just sucks. I just,
yeah.
You know, I've never.
Like, can you swim?
Yeah, but I don't. I won't.
But I don't.
I don't eat, when I go to the ocean, like, I'll be, like, a good 200 yards away from, like, where it comes. I might walk near it, but once my feet start to get wet,
So, like, when a guy's like, oh, you want to do, like, a long walk on a beach, you're like, no, the sidewalks is okay.
Yeah. Like, can we just go back to Kansas?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I really don't want to get at all.
That's fun.
I like the sunshine.
Yeah. I like sunshine.
But no.
Yeah, rats are pretty pretty disgusting
creatures. So the other rat thing, the mouse thing was terrible. The other rat thing that freaked me out is when I visited Hanoi, Vietnam, and I was walking down the street, and there's rats everywhere, big city rats. You know, they're like a foot long. They're huge. They're bigger than your hand, my hand. And I saw some lady run out, like a rat, a big, huge city rat, ran out of her little shop, and she ran out with it with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And she grabbed it, and she put it up on, like, a rock thing, and she whacked it on the head with the knife and just killed it right there. And then she looked over at me and, like, waved real happy with the knife, and I was just standing there dumbstruck, and then she took the rat back inside. And
to eat it?
Yeah. I don't know. Probably.
Probably.
Wow. That's different.
So after that, I was like, okay, I can't live in Vietnam then.
That's
and
a
I
good
still
thing to not like
hate
that,
rats.
Are you like a world traveler? Like, you've been to Vietnam and China so far. And
I'm an
like,
Asia traveler.
Wow.
I've never been to Europe or South America or anything.
Wow.
But I
what's the Asia connection?
Asia. I lived there from 2007 to 2014.
Oh, perfect.
So I lived in China.
Were
right
you
on.
Teaching or?
Uh-huh.
Okay, nice.
Yes. Yeah, I taught English.
Did you love it?
I loved parts of it. I loved being, when I finally kind of fell into my niche of my job there, where I was directing kindergarten and kind of part of the curriculum process and training teachers and stuff like that, I loved that. And I loved that because I got to be creative in the classroom too and do music and theater stuff. And I directed all the kindergarten plays
oh
and like
that's
wrote
really cool.
songs
wow.
to it and stuff. And Jason and I lived there together, and we had one commission deal through the school we worked for to write a series of kids' music based on the curriculum for the kindergarten, for their kindergarten books. And so we wrote like 100 songs or something based on that. And that was a lot of fun. So I loved that, but culturally there were just things that were really hard, just like anywhere else, you know.
Sure.
You're not used to it. I mean, Beijing is it's a big city. There's 22 million people in the
Dang,
municipality.
That's insane.
Like, and I just never could quite get used to that. I could never get used to riding on a subway and having no personal space and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just like anywhere. There's great things and there's kind of crappy things, you know.
So you were teaching all over Asia or just...
Just in Beijing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's just... where I lived, but we got 2 months off a year almost,
oh,
and so we got to travel a lot while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Malaysia and the Philippines and Bali and, you know, Vietnam,
Japan?
Cambodia. I never went to Japan or Korea.
Oh, okay.
They're right there. They're right there. But they're expensive, and that
yeah.
was the reason. Like, I could go there for 3 days or... I could spend 6 weeks in Bali.
Right. Yeah.
For the same amount of money. So it was kind of like, well, I'll go
let's
to
go
Bali.
To Bali, guys. That sounds like a
so are you
trip.
Fluent in Chinese or
I'm not fluent, no.
Okay.
But I can hold a conversation
right.
in Mandarin. Yeah.
And that's part of the programs, right? Because I had a friend that
It wasn't for us.
Oh,
for our program it was an English immersion program for our students,
mm-hmm.
so we weren't allowed to actually the American teachers weren't allowed to actually speak Chinese in the classroom. We had Chinese co-teachers who would help whenever there were behavioral issues or anything like that. And if we needed to talk about something deep with the kids,
yeah.
they would help with that.
Yeah.
But we were only supposed to speak English in the classroom. So whatever learning we did on our own.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It seems scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they've changed the program now. I think that they offer classes to the foreign teachers now for free through the school, but you're not obligated to take them.
Oh, okay.
So some programs do immersion language training, but ours didn't because it wasn't necessary for the job. So
right.
yeah, but it was a great job.
Yeah,
it was very
like
cool.
a really cool job.
Yeah.
Are you gonna go back anytime soon and visit? Or?
I'd like to. Probably not soon,
mm.
unfortunately.
Do you have any homies in China that you still keep up with?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
For sure. Well, are they still there? Let's see. The people that I was closest to there have probably all moved on. That's the only thing that was kind of disappointing about living in an expat community in a big city like that is that most people go for a year or 2 years, and then they move on.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go on, you know, exchange programs or language programs that last a year or something. They're majoring in Mandarin. So they'll do a study abroad for 9 months, and then they love it, and so they stay an extra year. But then you're like me, and you stay there for 7 years, and so in the time you're there, your friend circle changes like 3 or 4 yeah. times. So I'm pretty sure that the close-knit of friends that I had, the closest people, we've all left.
Okay.
But I've got a girlfriend in Toronto, a friend of mine lives in London, and she and I worked on charity work in Beijing together for the Migrant Children's Foundation. She's amazing. If she was here, this rock camp and Women Who Rock ICT stuff would be...
You wouldn't need our help.
I mean, she's a brainiac with all kinds of everything cool. So,
well, we're really excited to help spread the word about rock camp, the rock and roll camp for girls, your need for volunteers, your need for people to sponsor and stuff. We'll definitely get that word out. Do we have a wrap-up question? I don't even know what it is.
Yeah,
can I plug one more thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the wrap-up question. That's the first part of it, usually.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you need to plug?
Yeah, I want to plug our fundraising event in May. It's at the Donut Hole. It's on May 14th. It's a talent auction made up of a whole bunch of local Wichitans who are donating artwork or time and all kinds of different talents.
Awesome.
So... Airhouse Music, owned by David Lord, is donating a month's worth of lessons on guitar, bass, keys, and vocals through their qualified, extremely qualified teachers, like Kendall Wahoska from Lunacopi, Emily Strom. You know, I mean, it's legit. And so they're donating that, which is really cool. Ulix, like I said, is donating an electric guitar kit, which is really cool. I've got some massages that are being donated. There's belly dancing classes through MARTA is being donated, yoga class, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Wade Hampton is donating a badass painting, which is very, very cool. Some other artwork is being donated. We've got a sculpture and another painting, some custom work, all kinds of stuff. And we're it's all going to be for auction. So hopefully we can get a little bit of money out of it. And so that's on May 14th. We're also going to have live music. Auga's going to play. Emily Strom's going to play. A couple of other people are working out their schedules to make it so they can play, so I can't vocalize them yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What time you'll have to come to find out.
I think we're probably going to start around 4 or 5. It's
at the Donut Hole.
At the Donut Hole, okay. Yeah. So it is all ages. So, you know, if you've got daughters, bring them and sign them up. And, of course, there will be, like, an information booth that has all of our stuff there. The other thing is the next Women Who Rock showcase, the summer showcase, which... Oh! Jessica's gonna do comedy on the 14th, too. Yeah,
May
at the 14th? Donut Hole.
Yeah.
On May 14th, yeah. She's gonna do some comedy and help me do some hosting.
Yeah.
All ages show, Jess.
I did mention that when I got in touch with her about
it. I gotta figure something out.
I read a whole new
set. How much time do I have to do?
As much as you want.
Okay.
Only
she's got like a good solid
30
seconds.
I got 30 minutes. I mean 3 minutes. See, there I go, messing up everything.
Let me ask a couple
great.
Questions
yeah.
before we move on to the Women Who Rock
summer
showcase. So, May 14th at the Donut Hole. Are you still looking for people to donate... time, services, talent for the auction, or are you just want people to attend in an auction?
Of course.
Okay.
The thing is that since we've got more than one fundraiser coming up, whatever we, you know, aren't able to auction off at this auction, we can keep and for the next round of fundraisers.
Perfect.
Try and sell them with fixed prices at that time. So
fantastic.
Go to the auction because you could get, you know, some of these pieces for maybe cheaper than when I throw a price tag on there and I'm like, give me $10,000 for this Wade Hampton painting.
Mm-hmm. And you said there's a summer showcase for the Women Who Rock?
Yeah, there's a summer showcase on June 18th at Abode.
Okay, awesome.
And this will be our first all-ages Women Who Rock ICT showcase, which I'm really excited about. Barleycorns has been super awesome to us in letting us host there. And the only reason that I'm doing this one at an all-ages venue is because this one is going to be a fundraiser for Rock Camp as well. And so I want kids to be able to come.
Yeah.
And see what...
And see what's going on, yeah. And Auga's going to play that. Who else is going to play that? I've got a list of other bands going on there.
Do you know how much that is to attend?
That's going to be $10.
$10, okay.
But the all these events is free. Are men and women.
Yes, all these events are men and women sponsored, men and women involved, you know, yeah.
Sure.
The Abode is a very nice venue.
It's yeah,
really nice.
I'm really excited about that. That one's really cool, too, because that's going to be a little more geared toward all women in the arts than our other showcases have been. They've mostly featured musicians, but this one will have dance. It will have visual artists. It will have bands as well. It will have... Megan Welsh is doing comedy at that one.
Cool.
So we're getting... A bigger variety of women in the arts for that showcase, which is really cool. And that'll be a daytime one, too. I think it's going to be 4 to 10, probably about the same hours as the May 14th. And the last one is the Rock Camp, or the Rock and Roll Garage Sale in July. And that is something where... It's basically me saying to Wichita, if you don't want to have a garage sale because they're a huge pain, bring me all of your stuff and I will sell it for you, but you can't have the money.
We did the same thing last year. We did the same thing, exact same thing.
For the Brooks Wheelan show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're not above it.
That's in July. Do you know the date?
Yes. It's supposed to be on here.
I'll make it sound like just...
You will.
Do you know the date? July 7th.
Yeah.
So you're cutting all this
July
out? No, you're not.
22nd and 3rd.
Just say it with confidence like you knew it.
July 21st through 24th.
Okay. Sounds good. Perfect.
Sounds like a Thursday through Sunday.
She'll keep
just
you posted.
Wait, no, that's not true.
Okay.
We'll cut that
no,
out, too.
No.
Should I ask the question again? Maybe we can, it would just sound more, okay.
No, that's right.
Okay.
July 21st. July 21st through 24th. Yeah. I think.
So if you want more information about any of these things, how to donate stuff for the Rock and Roll Yard Sale, anything about the summer showcase, the talent auction, all through your website, they can at least reach you to get more information.
Yeah, and on our upcoming events, those are all listed on the website.
And give us that website one more time.
That is www.ladiesrockict@weebly.com. And Weebly is W-E-E-B-L-Y.
Perfect.
Perfect. Right on. So then, before we wrap, we usually like to ask our guests for like a quote or motto or mantra or mission statement that you probably wish you would have been like warned about and had hours to come up with, but just go.
Is this a mission statement like for me in my own life?
Yes.
Or for Rock Camp? Or
no, for you. Or whatever.
Like
Maria Elena.
It's just my just own?
Say something and just, you know, thick with profundity.
I'm not thick with profundity.
What keeps you going? What keeps you doing this? Honestly. You could just quit, but you're like, this is great. I love it. I'm going to be involved. I'm letting music encompass me. Why?
Because I don't have a choice, man. I could not do anything, and then what would I do? I'd be a waste of space, you know? I mean, it's, I don't know. You have to do something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that it?
You have to do something.
I think that sounds good.
I like that. That's
a
great
motto.
Right?
Yeah.
No. You have to do something, period. Cool. That's
I like
good.
It.
Right on.
This well, is
thank
like
you so much for
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria Elena.
No problem.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. So make sure you check that out. Support what you can. If you've got a little one, see about maybe getting them in the Rock and Roll School for Girls. That could be a pretty cool experience. I know I wish I had done something like that when I was young, especially if I'd been able to go to an all-girls day camp. That would have been either really weird or really cool. I'm not sure. Anyway, thank you one more time, Jill Miller, finishing school for modern women. And thank you, everybody at Shelter Salon. And thank you for listening. And of course, thank you to Domestic Drone for letting us have this sweet music we use every single episode. Y'all have a great week.